You are now tuned into the Boxing Bros. I'm Caden. I'm here with my co-host.
What's going on? This is G. And I'd just like to say congratulations to Carissa Shields.
It's their boy, TVE. And you call me heartbroken.
Oh, that's it, TVE? You ain't going to go out like Kanye-Easy? You going to go out that easy, bro?
You don't want your woman back?
You're going out easy, not like Kanye-Easy. You know what I'm saying?
I want to say congratulations, yo. I didn't know you was getting married this weekend. You
look real beautiful. She got engaged.
She got engaged? Oh. She got engaged. Congratulations on your engagement, yo. I wish you the best. You know, you always got a special place in my heart. And, yeah.
Yeah, man. You sound defeated, brother. Oh man, it's over, man. I never thought. All right, everyone, let's just dive in. All right, the first topic we're gonna discuss on Boxing Bros is our reaction to Edgar Berlanga versus Steve Rose. So, that fight took place last night. I want to know, Conspira G, what was your reaction to it? Were you impressed? What did you see? Let me know. How'd you feel about the fight?
It was essentially a one-sided fight. I gave Berlanga essentially almost all the rounds with the exception of two. But there was the sixth round that I thought was a toss-up round that it could have went Steve Rose. But I was like, I still think Berlanga did enough. Now, I felt like Rose didn't turn up until the second half. But I felt like if he wasn't as scared of Berlanga in the first half, I think he would have did a lot better. You know, but this guy was so shook. Like, man, it looked like if a teacher got into a fight with a high school kid, you know, like, and they old and they kind of scared, like, they don't know this
teacher got into a fight with a high school kid.
I'm telling you, man, Steve Rose would get hit by a jab, bro. Just a jab, and he would do this, like, and I'm like, yo, come on, fam. It wasn't even that serious. You know what I mean? But, like, so for the first couple of rounds, it was like that. But then it showed that Berlanga was too one-sided. Like, unlike Zayas, who showed, like, variations in his fight, Berlanga, man, he just was walking the dude down, but he wasn't, like, really walking him down behind the jab and making, like, Rose really, like, you know, he could have got Rose out of there a lot faster, I think, to be honest, but he didn't really do much. You know, he did enough to win, but I'm like, Steve Rose is what, like 37? You know, this dude, I don't know, man. Like, Rose wasn't really even that big of a guy like that, man. Like, you know,
Pause.
G, pause. Like, you know.
Look at that.
You know what I mean, Triple G already did. So I thought honestly they brought in Steve Rose just to get knocked out so they could compare Berlanga to Triple G. And that wasn't the case, man. And I was just like, man, Berlanga doesn't have like a plan B in his fights, you know? And so I really wasn't impressed, man. Good job to Berlanga for getting the dub, but man, Steve Rose just, you know, yo, Steve Rose actually reminds us, and shout out to our boy Noah. But he reminds me of Noah when you
say, yo, I don't know why you say that. He don't remind me of Noah. He reminds you of Noah. Don't say us.
Well, the way
you were Noah.
Remember how Noah used to hold a mitt? That's how Rose fights Berlanga. Man, scary, dog. I'm like, yo, fam, like, come on, man. So I wasn't really impressed like that, man. And I don't feel like this performance is preparing Berlanga for, like, tougher competition, you know. I don't know. You know, just, I don't know. It's cool, man. I guess that's cool.
Oh, my bad. I thought you was. Omega Cam just asked a question. He said, everything good would pass the trail. We need a good word from the commish. The commission is good, and he may make an appearance. He's just busy. He just had a few things to do these last two weekends. You know, we usually try to clear the decks, man, but life happens for us sometimes. And you know, it may just be the three of us, but Trill might check in at some point later. So we got, I think Irish Boxing Bro said he heard it was a robbery.
Yeah.
Oh man,
Rose knows what time it was. Every time he got hit, this dude just responded so poorly to them punches. It was horrible. I was like, oh, come on, man.
right, Ned the TBE.
No, I agree with G. There was a point in the fight where Rose tried, and first I want to say this fight was not. It wasn't it for me. I don't know. I'm used to Edgar. Like the first 16 fights, he was knocking heads out, catching them first round knockouts, and I thought we would have at least this one a repeat of those significant moments. But Steve Rose was like very jumpy last night, and then at one point I think it was like in the third or fourth round or something like that, he tried Edgar. He like went in for a hook, and Edgar like caught him with a hook back, and he just like stumbled. He stumbled back, and I was like, "Yo, there's the power." Like you see, like he can't even handle your power. And the whole night, all Edgar did was just walk him down, jab, jab, jab. Didn't really bring the fight to him. And I need to see more from this kid. I need to see more explosive. I need to see more aggression. I need to see more hunger in that ring.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know what I think of Belinga. Like, at first, he was knocking everyone out. And there are times I feel like he showed more composure in the way he knocked people out than he does now that he's trying to box. And like, I'm trying to understand what they're doing with him, but I really don't. Like, his technique looked bad at times last night. Like, his straight punches sometimes look a little off, and he tried to throw like an overhand right at times, and it looked real sloppy. And I'm just like, man, like, what are they working on with Edgar Belinga? For example, there were like lulls in the action where it was just them standing there, and I'm like, this would be a perfect time to use your jab, use it as a range finder, use a hard stiff jab so that you can land and set up a bigger punch, like vary the jab to the body. It just looked, he really just didn't look polished. Like, I didn't see much improvement. Like G said, I saw that Rose respected his power, so he was afraid to attack him. But what? Yeah, the setup was this. Like I don't understand. I don't get it for the life of me. But then you compare it to, you know, the display we saw in the fight before that, and the variety of punches, the attacks and things of that nature was completely different. And I'm just looking at Edgar Belinga, and I'm like, man, it's really, you got power and that's it. You got power in both hands, but once people, yeah.
His corner was all over the place. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, man. I don't know what they're doing with him, but I've already chalked it up as he's one of those guys where a best defense is a good offense. He just needs to go out there and try to take Buddy out, and then that's it. So, like, for me, I didn't see much improvement. I didn't see anything that makes me feel like, yo, this dude has been in the gym working on his craft. I didn't see anything that was really impressive. He beat Steve Rose, and I don't know how people could say it was a robbery. I thought, like G said, Rose was afraid to pull the trigger. He made some rounds interesting, but for the most part, it is what it is. Berlinga beat him and pounded him. But I will say this as a caveat for Berlinga, right? The dude had 16 first round knockouts in a row, right? And you look at the novice fighters, the beginners, they usually go four rounds, right? Usually go four rounds. They do four rounders. So let's just say he would have had one four rounder. He would have had another four rounder. That would have been eight rounds. He would have had another four rounder, right? That would have been 12 rounds. He would have had another four rounder. That would have been 16 rounds. He would have had four fights. So someone with four professional fights that had four rounders that went the distance would have had the same amount of rounds that Edgar Belinga had. Oh, and still we look at him a certain way. So, I mean, he needs more work, obviously. But I really wasn't. I'm not ready to be like, yo, this is the next great Puerto Rican star. The way they were promoting them, that's.
Thank you, Sam. Just throwing it out there. Just throwing it out there.
Yo, please, man. We're gonna get into that. Hey, listen, I'm gonna say this though. They were giving Belinga that heavy promotion, bro. They were giving him that serious promotion. They were giving him that Nico Walsh promotion. You know what I'm saying? They was they were comparing him to Tito Trinidad and Miguel Cotto, you know, Wilfred Benitez. They were doing all they can to align him. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, listen, I'm with you on that. But they made sure. I'm surprised they didn't show the picture of him with Trinidad. They did everything they could to align him with Trinidad and Miguel Cotto. So yeah, my take on that is
good for his promotion. You know, like his backstory with his dad. I thought all of that was cool. You know what I mean? Like you could buy into the fighter. I think that boxers should just do that more. You know what I mean? So
hold on, my man, Francisco had a few pause in there. What are you pausing, Francisco? I'm interested. Put it in the comment section because I want to laugh. I missed the pause. What's the pause? What was the pause moment?
Promise me it's face now, please.
Well, we'll be on the lookout for that. We can move on to the next.
Let's go to that next topic.
The next topic is Edgar Belenga ready for David Benavidez. I'm gonna switch it up. I'm not even going to G first. I'm going to Ned. Ned, is Edgar Belenga ready for David Benavidez?
Now you're on mute, bro.
Oh, God.
As much as I wish he was, he's not ready for Benavidez, man.
Oh, hold on, sorry. Yo, time out. Go to Francisco real quick.
Oh, his last one?
No, the one before that. He explained the pause. He said the pause was that I said he beat him and he pounded him. Oh, yeah. You got that one. I missed that one. All right. You got that one. Go ahead, Ned.
Yeah. Edgar needs to, really sharpen up his tool set because he's not ready for, the top guys in the division right now. Benavidez is a killer, and, you know, Benavidez about to line this boy up and smoke him. So, I don't know, yo.
He's smoking a G-Pack?
He's smoking on G-Pack, yeah, for real. The Langer pack, yo. He's gonna put it in the sky, and you know, do what he do, yo. Have his fun. But yeah, Edgar, before you get in there with the big boys, you gotta really like clean up. You gotta really get polish your skills, polish better your defense, and find that dog in you again, yo. Because it's lacking. I'm not seeing it there right now.
Yeah, all right. Conspiracy G, I wonder what you're about to say. Go ahead.
You call me Chef Boyardee for this segment.
Oh, God.
Got this right now. This we eating rosca pollo. You know what I'm saying? Your man is done, bro. Like, listen, this is the difference. Yo, Kenny, you better stop playing. You know you agree with me on this one. The problem with Belenga is this, right? He moves forward, but he doesn't move forward with the jab, right? And Belenga, yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's cute you doing that with Rose. You're not going to do that with Benavidez, right? The difference is, even when Benavidez is walking a guy down, he always walks him down with punches. Belenga, you're not going to just have that aura around you where it's like, yo, I'm the knockout artist. You're going to be in fear of me. Benavidez isn't going to fall for that. So it's like you got to provide much more. And this is the gift and the curse with Belenga. Yeah, he has 16 knockouts, first round, this and third, yada, yada, yada. Oh, that's great. But it's not preparing him for them long rounds for a guy like Benavidez. Man, listen, yo, Kaden, they're going to make you wear a Mexican one. How you going to wear a Mexican one, man? Like, I'm telling you, Benavidez is going to do this dude dirty. Like, it's going to be bad. Yo, listen. Yo, Belenga, man, take your time. Perfect the craft. You know, and not to mention roles is just, man, I'm sorry, man. That dude was, he's past his prime, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, Benavidez right now is, in the peak of his athleticism. The kid is dangerous. He has reach. He's tall. Like, it's not the same, man. It's just really dangerous for Belenga. And Belenga needs to work more on head movement. Belenga got to do a lot of stuff, man. Like, I wish Belinda had the skills that Zayas had. Then maybe I'd be like, all right, I don't know. I can't call it. But Belinda's too one-sided, man. He's literally just like, I'm just going to be a one-punch knockout type of guy. And that's not going to work with a guy like Benavidez. So I'll put the whole bank on Benavidez spanking this kid Belinda. Facts.
Yo, that was cute. But what has he done, G? What has Benavidez done, G? You sitting here talking like this, man.
He's talking to eat roast Capoyo.
That's it. Cool. Yeah, he's been eating roast Capoyo. That's why he's been losing on the scale. For starters, he won't even get to Edgar Belinga because he won't make weight. And if he made weight, great. You know what we about to do? We about to eat some Chipotle. Go bend the block, then we're going to pull up at Qdoba. You know what I'm saying? We stopping at all the bodegas, and we hitting them cash registers. We taking them peas, bruv, straight like that, innit? Listen, brother, you don't want none of this talking about Edgar Belinga. All Edgar Belinga got to do was touch him one time. Benavidez got to be perfect for 36 minutes. Belinga only got to be perfect for 2 seconds, bruv. Listen, Belinga's been trying to practice all the... We all know that Berlanga's a better prospect than FA. Don't even sit here and try to pull that. Don't even sit here and try to pull that. All right, so get back to what I was saying, okay? Listen, we all know that if Berlanga goes back to that vicious, ferocious style where he was trying to knock people out in the first round, he get dudes out of there. Listen, Benavidez, he never been in a ring with someone who was really trying to fight him back. Only one time. And that was with the dog. That was with Anthony Durrell. Only one time. And Durrell was giving him that work until the later round. So listen, I'm going to say this to you. If Benavidez gets hit by Belinga, I'm telling you right now, he's going to get hurt and Belinga can stop him. You can sit here saying whatever you want, but my dude is the one who got 16 straight KOs in a row against stiff competition, okay?
What is the version of rice cakes in Puerto Rico, bro? You know what I'm saying?
A word? I see what it is. People want payback for that effort.
They call it rice cakes.
Listen. You can't compare Edgar Berlanga to F.A. Ajapa, okay? One, F.A. was a soccer player for most of his life. Edgar Berlanga was in boxing gyms, okay? And Edgar Berlanga actually accomplished things as an amateur before he turned pro. That's one. Two, he's not F.A. He's Hefe. Compared to F.A., you better call Edgar Berlanga Hefe. You feel what I'm saying? Because he's a bar compared to
F.A. I got your back. We eating Goya rice cakes, man.
Yo, rice and beans cakes.
I got a question for Kaden, man. What's Edgar Belinga's power to a man who can't feel his face? You feel me?
Man, we already told you.
You know, that was deep, man. That was deep.
Yo, listen, I'm being real with you, yo. David Benavidez, I like him. I think he has potential. But he has to be the most overhyped dude I've been hearing in a long time. People think he's the best fight for Canelo. People think this. People think that. Based on what? Based on what? I'm telling you right now, it would not surprise me if Berlanga catches David Benavidez and knocks him out. And in fact, I'm banking on that, baby. You know what it is. You know what it is. Berlanga.
Okay, then pronounce that for me, man, because I don't know how to say it.
What's that? Well, I don't know what that is. Is that Al Caporia?
That just sound like you said. I know. I don't know what it sounds like, but I know you. Well, you just pronounced it.
I butchered it. I butchered it. Probably. I probably butchered it. But so what? It don't even matter.
So that's what we're gonna call Belinga from now on. If he even calls out my man Benavidez's name, son.
Your man, Benavidez is chicharrones.
I don't know what that is.
That's what he is, bro.
What kind of food is that?
I think it's like the Hispanic griot.
Yeah. Hold on, but do they eat that in Mexico?
They eat that. Puerto Rico and...
See, you can't... Mexico. How you going to disrespect him? He not Puerto Rican. He Mexican. You know what I'm saying? He's like Mexican El Salvador. You know,
they eat it all. It's a Hispanic dish, man.
Yo, it's a Hispanic dish, okay? It's like plantains, dog. Haitians claim plantains.
Plain fried bananas, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, listen, bro. I don't even want to hear it. Yo, your man Benavidez is food. Okay, so that's it. Thank you. We can move on. We can move on to the next one. I got Belenga by first round knockout.
You know what? Belenga probably has a better chance fighting Plant. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, then I'm just gonna say you sounding like old time G, man.
What?
When Wilder was winning,
next topic.
Ayo, Ned. Hey, Ned, you see how I threw in that perfect for 2 seconds, right?
Anyways, reaction to Xander Zayas versus Lavalas. No,
Lavalas.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What y'all say?
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go first on this one. Since we talking about the young prospect, Xander Zayas. Now, listen. This is the one. I mean, I'll be honest. I would have liked it more if he stopped Lavalas, but he didn't. But Lavalas was a crafty guy who just went in there to survive. So he really didn't take any risk to get clipped. And with that being said, he did land some shots on Xander Zayas that I wish it was more a clean victory, meaning that Zayas didn't get hit with some of those punches. But for the most part, Zayas showed great ring IQ. He showed great ring generalship. He had punch selection and punch placement was beautiful. Like this kid, he's 19, and his IQ was off the charts. And it was just his intellect in the ring that was the most impressive thing. He was controlling the distance. He was landing beautiful punches from outside. When he got him on the ropes, he placed the body shots. He varied the attack from the head to the body. Then this was the most impressive part. This is the most impressive part about what I saw from Xander Zayas was he fought on the inside for a little bit, and he showed that his inside game was tight. So I'm very excited about him. I think, you know, of all the Puerto Rican prospects they had on that card, he's definitely the one with the greatest ceiling, with the most potential. Hopefully it stays that way. So I was very impressed with Xander Zayas. But I wish he got hit less, and I wish he got the stoppage, but that's about it. So I'm going to throw it over to you, TBE.
Nah, this fight was exciting. I'm not going to lie. Xander showed, he dominated Lavalas. And he showed that, you know, he has a lot. He's a special talent. You know, the kid was, like cutting and hitting him with so much power. And I thought this fight was going to be over in the second round. And he just, like, I don't know what he just stopped the flurries and let him get back, and then he did it. The sixth round was amazing, and then, yo, it was just a great win by the kid. Yo, I want to see so much more from him.
Yo, I just realized, you ain't put Malik Scott on the itinerary, dog.
Yeah, I'm gonna add him. I'm mad. Don't worry.
Get that Malik Scott verse. You know, get that in there.
Yeah, we're going to talk about
that. In there. We gotta get that in there. People were just asking. You know, we got to get that in there.
I just beat that. Yo, pardon
me. You know that I'm the – yeah. Hey, all right. Yeah. All right, so Conspira G, man.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what Kaden was saying. Like, the variety that he showed in that fight was, like, excellent. Like, I remember in the first round, he threw, like, a body shot from a particular angle, and I was just like, man, this kid got talent. But it didn't stop there. The second round that what Ned was talking about, honestly, I thought, yo, maybe he might just pull it off and knock this dude out. But, you know, what's his name? Lava. I'm going to call him Lava. Pardon me. Please.
The floor is Lava. All right, go ahead.
I call his nickname Chico. Chico, solid. This dude took so many shots, man. Honestly, I hope he's okay. I'm being honest. That was a lot of punishment. I honestly prefer if he would have just got knocked out by one punch because he took too many shots, especially to the face, you know? But
pause.
I felt like
pause. Major pause.
Yeah,
bro, did you hear that?
What are you saying?
Did I hear that?
I don't remember what I said.
G said he took too many shots. He took too many shots to the face.
Come on, G, pause, yo. Pause,
it was. But I felt like Lava's actual best round was his fifth round, where he actually started landing jabs on Zayas, right? But that was the only round, and I still gave that round to Zayas because he wasn't active enough, you know. But and I noticed like it was like in the seventh round, Zayas then started showing different angles to hurt him, and then from there in the eighth round, he started doing the inside fighting, and that to me was like, okay, this dude's showing everything, like. Like, no matter, like, what kind of style you like, he can demonstrate it, and he's demonstrating at a high level, you know? That dude, Lava, like, again, I felt like, you know, he should have been moving more, like, moving around more. But maybe he's just like, hey, man, I think I'm defensively sound. I could counter.
And he just tried to move somewhat, though.
Yeah, but it just didn't work, you know? And so... Zayas, I felt like that was a great opponent for Zayas to showcase his skills, which he did, you know. And that's what I was saying. Now, I was more impressed with Zayas than I was with Belenga, you know, because Zayas didn't just stop at one style. He showed the variations of style. And not to mention, he is defensively sound because anytime he'll, like, go for a kill shot, he always remembers to protect his face. That's another thing that Belenga that I wish he could do more of, like, defense, you know, like, but... It is what it is, man. But Zayas, man, salute to your victory. And, you know, I'm really hoping that my man Lava or Chico, whatever, is healthy and he's good.
Yeah, he took quite a beating. We can't deny that.
Ned's down bad today.
You said what?
Ned's down bad today. You know what I mean?
You got it bad.
Oh man,
a lot of people wasn't around, you know, when we discussed this, but Clarissa Shields is engaged, man, and she did this behind your back. You didn't even know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, you all right?
You want to address that with the people, Ned?
Does it leave a bad taste in my mouth? Yeah. Do I hate it? No. Do I want problems with her man? Maybe.
Sure.
But you know what? I'm not gonna let this ruin my day, man. I'm not gonna let this ruin my day.
Ned, you hear that?
Happy.
Yo, Ned, you hear that?
Huh?
You hear that? I hear sure. Sure.
Clarissa, I just want you to be happy, yo. That's it. Yo, name with me. Hopefully it's with him. I'm gonna leave it at that.
Yo, Nate, you going out? You ain't going out like Yeezy, man. I'm disappointed, man.
Which one me show up at it? Yo, I pull up the Flint, yo. I pull up the Flint if I had to, yo. Yo, let him break your heart. Watch what I do.
You better treat him good.
Let him break your heart.
Yeah. Oh man.
No, yo, man, I'm just. Yo, I'm feeling for you. Yo, if you could get one word across to Clarissa right now, one thing, if she's watching live right now, what do you want to say to her?
Come home, Pumpy.
Yo, Chris V, I was thinking the same thing. It's that different song. You know that song where Drake's like, oh. I think it's called like Nothing or Something. Well, he finds out that she got engaged and she didn't even tell him. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I can't even remember. It reminds me of that. I think it's like Nothing or Something. But, yo, Ned, one of our Yellow Claws wanted me to share something with you.
You got to do it again. Yo. It just popped up now. You gotta reshare it.
Oh, all right. Hold on. Yo, Claus wanted me to share something with you, man. So hold up. Let me share something with you. Y'all can see it?
Yeah, we can see it. Damn. Yo, salute. Yo, Oh man, yo,
so y'all go follow my homie Yellow Claws right here, man. This dude is hilarious, man. With the
that's good photoshopping right there, man. Salute. Damn, yo, now you all right, man.
All right, so we can move on. We can move on to the next one.
So next up, we got Loman Usyk offered a chance to leave Ukraine.
Oh yeah, let me pull that real quick. All right, man. So Usyk and Vasily Lomachenko were given a chance, according to reports, are being offered the opportunity to leave the Ukraine and accept fights. So we're going to pull this up real quick. Excuse me. All right, so this is from TalkSport, and it says Alexander Usyk offered a chance to leave Ukraine Defense Force and train for Anthony Joshua rematch by government, meaning fight could now happen after all. So I'm going to get down to the quotes here. And this is from Bob Arum. It said, when asked for an update on Loma versus Kambosos, Arum told Fanatics View, the Ukrainian government, which is tremendous, are cooperating with us as far as Lomachenko and also Usyk. They realize there's tremendous publicity value having them come out, train, and participate in title fights. Hopefully the war will then be over, but if it isn't, they will then go back into the defense mode. So I don't know where that stands with either guy. Whether they're going to accept the offer of the cultural minister of Ukraine to leave and to train for fights. So, before this news broke, Joshua gave an update on his future on Friday. Speaking on Instagram Live, Joshua said, what's the next fight? It's actually happening soon. I don't want to say too much, but yeah, the fight's happening soon. I pray it's rematch versus Usyk. Won't fight anybody outside of the top 10. So, excuse me, that's what was said there. I'm going to turn it over to you, Kaspira G. What's your reaction to that news? And which fight are you hoping for Joshua? Which top 10 opponent do you want Joshua to fight next? So what's your reaction to the Ukraine Defense Force? Yeah, just stop. I don't already know nothing. I want you to tell me.
I'll say this. This is cool. But I was low-key hoping that Loma was going to fight Haney. Now I was low-key hoping that AJ was foolish enough to fight Wilder. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, those are my wish list. Those two fights was on my wish list, man. But you know, if Loma and Usyk can fight, you know, what's the homeboy's name? Kambosos and Anthony Joshua. I'm cool with those fights too, man. So you know, it is what it is, you know. And if Loma and Usyk feel like they both need more time because they're dealing with this war, I'm cool with that also, you know. So, man, I just really wanted the AJ Wilder fight, to be honest with you, man, because that's just been a major controversy in these YouTube streets. And, you know, I need closure, you know what I mean? So, you know.
So you ain't got enough closure?
Nah, not yet. I won't have closure until those two gentlemen get in the ring and Wilder takes his head clean off, you know what I'm saying? But other than that, man, it is what it is. So this is good news, though. You know, I'm happy for both gentlemen if they are ready to pursue those fights.
Salute to my man, Stefan. I see him in there. Salute to Boxing Pound for Pound Jack. Salute. All right. TBE.
Loma Duck and Putin.
Yo, did you see? I think it was Yellow Claws. Mr. T said, that Loma looked like he'd be wearing his dad's uniform.
Yeah, I see it that way. I was like, y'all are crazy, man.
TDE, what's your reaction to the news that the Ukrainian government is working with Bob Arum to let Lomachenko and even Usyk have their fights? And who do you want to see Anthony Joshua fight next?
Yo, I'm riding with my boy AJ. With whoever he wants to fight next. Like, if it's Usyk, it's Wilder, I'm riding with AJ. But this is great news to see that these guys can have an opportunity to fight for their country during these times. But if I was their opponents, I wouldn't want to be in these guys' way, because right now there's so much pain they're carrying. There's so much hurt that they're ready to unleash. And when Godspeed. That's all I say. I pray for AJ. I want him to win this rematch. But like I said before, it's damn if you do, damn if you don't. You beat this man, you're going to look bad. You lose to this man, he's coming to kick you behind. I just hope everything ends well for you in this match. But Loma is going to run through whoever. I don't know. Loma, he was already, when he came back, he was already on, he was kicking some tail. And now, when you add more fuel to this fire, I just think he's unstoppable now. And I hope anybody in that division who see he's looking to take it back over. What you guys say, G?
Oh no, I was talking to Irish Boxing, bro. He's saying, "Yo, Wilder's gonna retire." I said, "Watch your mouth."
Actually, Ned, I just want to jump in for a quick second. You predicted that Wilder was gonna retire before the third Fury fight. How do you feel now? It seems as though you might have just been one fight off. You might have just been one fight off. Do you care to touch upon that, Ned, the TBE?
I was one fight off, and I don't know why that just doesn't seem like his heart's in it anymore. Like last time I saw him speak in the interview, he's just like, he's accomplished so much in boxing. He doesn't have anything else to prove. And
watch your mouth. That ayahuasca is going to get that motivation back.
Hey, bro. Ayahuasca got your man.
Listen. Once Wilder comes back from Wakanda, we all set. We're going back to the top. You know what I'm saying?
AJ will violate your man. I just know he's going to end badly. It's going to end badly for your man. The hits from AJ is going to take him higher than ayahuasca, all right? You know? It's going to be bad for him, though. But like I said, Wilder's looking like he's about to hang it up, and him, I don't think he wants any more brutal punishment. He wants to punish guys, and since he's been exposed,
boss. Yo, this show's wild today. You heard what he said? He said, "I don't think Wilder wants to take any more punishment. He wants to punish guys."
And since he's been exposed, I don't think he can really. He let a B accomplish much in the sport now. People know he likes to beat on tomato cans.
Yo, go to Hazeek's comment real quick. I think it's how you pronounce his name. If not, I apologize.
Yeah. Yo, Paul said true facts, yo.
First one in the show.
AOJM, man, Trill's a little busy. He might tap in with us at some point during the chat, but he has some things he got to do.
Oh man, y'all, this is getting crazy. I don't think, I'll be honest, I do not believe Wilder is afraid of AJ. AJ, Eddie, make the offer. My man's gonna accept to decapitate your man's neck. You know what I'm saying? So make this happen, man. I'm serious, man. I don't think, just like I don't think AJ's afraid of Wilder. I just feel when that bell ring, Wilder's gonna be the one to try to take AJ's head off first. So, and that's what I'm banking on. You know what I mean?
If he's not on a bad trip right now, your man is on a trip right now. Your man is seeking answers.
Mm-hmm.
From drugs. In simplest form, that's what's happening. But you know what? I ain't going to pile on my man Wilder. Let me answer the question. I think it's a smart move by the Ukraine. You have two of the most popular and two of the most relevant fighters in the sport of boxing. And while you have this war going on, you have two viable assets who are not being used in a manner in which it can best benefit you. The best way to utilize Vasily Lomachenko is to have him in Australia about to fight George Kambosos in a huge fight in promotion, doing interviews, telling people help support Ukraine. The best way to use Usyk is to have him in arguably, you know, one or two, but that would probably be the biggest fight of the year. So Usyk, Joshua rematch, biggest fight of the year, and you and the co-star is a man from the Ukraine who was just on a defense team speaking out against what's taking place. That's a very powerful too. So I think it's very intelligent, you know, that they would let them go and represent. And so for me, I think Usyk versus Joshua, if that's available, that's the only fight. You know why? Because for me, and some people say, oh, Caden, how can you say you don't want Wilder versus Joshua? When did I say that? I never said I don't want Wilder versus Joshua. I said I don't want it now. I said I don't want it now because there's already a built-in excuse for the Wild Debts of the world when AJ knocks him out. They're going to say Wilder was already beaten up by Tyson Fury and he was coming off a loss. They're going to say Wilder wasn't in his right mind. He was doing drugs in the jungle wearing nothing but leaves and leaves as pants. So, you know, so that's what they're going to say. So what do you want? You think I want to see that fight right now? No. I want to see it later on down the line where if Wilder comes back and he gets some knockouts, he's gonna rebuild his fan base. Trust me, I know his fan base like the back of my hand. As soon as Wilder knocks out a tomato can, he's back. Best punch in boxing history. Yada, yada, yada. That could be Luis Ortiz for the third time. You know what I'm saying? They still going to be
complex, man. Stop talking about Wilder. The complex going to appear. You
know? We're going to bring Plex back to discuss Wilder's recent activities and just to discuss boxing in general. Nah, but what I'm saying is, for real, so Wilder's a total. Yo, but what I'm saying, like, for real, like, you and I both know if AJ beats Wilder right now, everyone's going to be saying that he didn't beat Wilder. Wilder was already done. He was contemplating retirement. That's why I don't want to see him fight Wilder right now. Yeah. So I want to see it later on down the line. Now,
like this drink.
So getting back to this fight with AJ and Usyk, though, all I really care about is getting the first undisputed heavyweight champion since Lennox Lewis. And Deontay Wilder had his say, but he got X'd off by Tyson Fury. So now Fury versus Dillian is taking place. So now I just want Usyk, Joshua to take place. And whoever wins that fight, fight the winner of Dillian and Fury. That's all I want now. All I want is undisputed. And then you can make all these other fights. But I just want the man to emerge. That's the most important thing for me right now. I don't really care about seeing Joshua fight Wilder because to me, Wilder already got X'd out. He already got X'd out. He lost his belt. AJ just lost his belt, but there's a rematch clause. Remember, Wilder went to arbitration to get his rematch clause, yet the Wild Debts of the world are so happy with letting Wilder cut in. Remember, Wilder let his contract expire. Well, this is the argument. Wilder waited so long to agree for the third fight that Joshua and Fury had already worked out a deal. And then Wilder went to arbitration and said, no, I want my fight. So you got it. And you got your ass whooped. So now go in the jungle, do what it do, swing off trees, and do that, and let the big boys fight for undisputed. That's how I feel.
Well, hold on. How come Rocky in part four, he could go to the Russian wilderness to train, but Wilder can't go to the Amazon to train. You feel me?
Yeah, but Rocky wasn't on no drugs, bro.
You sure? You see how cheesy he was? You sure?
Oh, he was on something, but for the sake of the movie, he was clean in the movie. Drago was the only one on something.
Man. Hey, man, listen, man. Yo, make that fight happen. And I do believe that Wilder's going to come back. You know, there's too much money out there for Wilder not to. Like, that's crazy. Like, I don't know, man. It's because the PBC going to just feed Wilder some bums just to motivate him back. And then we just going, you know, they're going to build his ego up. And then he's going to challenge AJ or whoever else and make a lot of money. Or he could fight Ruiz. They're in-house. Beat up on Ruiz real quick. Knock out Ruiz. Everyone's going to talk about how Wilder did it better than AJ, whatever, whatever. And that's going to set up the Wilder-AJ fight.
I think it's fascinating that you think Ruiz is an easy fight for Wilder.
Food. He's food. Yo, that's a quesadilla for Wilder, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Like saying, G, who got the better pair of legs, G?
Yo, listen.
Who got the better pair of legs, G?
Hold on. I'm going to say pause right now. But come on, we got to give that man some credit. My man's legs were chiseled, son. You know what I mean? Like, you got respect where respect's due. You know what I'm saying? When you're working in the gym, you got to go, I see you, bro. Salute. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. Pause, you know? So it is what it is. You know what I mean?
The quad appreciation day. We can move on to the next one.
All right. Hold on. All right. So next up, we got my man, Big Baby, will be fighting Christian Hammer on the Fury White undercard.
G, let us know, man. How you feel about that, man?
I like it. You know what I mean? So now, to me, it's good because, again, he's just stepping up slowly but surely, you know. Knocks him out. Boom. He's out there, right? And yo, does Chris Hammer have one of them fake belts?
I don't know, man. Chris Hammer have been beaten and passed around by so many people. Hey,
he ain't got no belts, man. He just lost. He lost like three in a row, bro.
I thought he had one of them fake belts.
he lost three in a row.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, maybe Big Bang could grab one of them fake belts and just add on to his rise to fame, man. So it's cool. I just hope Jerry, knocks him out probably round one, round two. He has to make it a showcase. And this is like, for this undercard, I think it's the best place to show it. You got to take this dude's head clean off, like make a statement. And then I think, like, that's what he needs, man. So I agree with Bob putting him on the undercard or Frank Warren, whatever they, you know, the Frank Warren, Bob Arum team. Thank you for this. I think this is a good opportunity for Big Baby. And Big Baby just, you know, don't waste this opportunity. I say get to UK a week early, you know, just so you can be.
Bro, he's helping Tyson Fury spar.
Oh, yeah. You're right. See, I'm not even thinking. So he's already over there. You feel
me? He was here to see the fights in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, Liga's baby. But, you know, but he's already over there. I'm assuming Fury's training over there for the white fight. But if not, who cares? Just get there at a decent time. Because I know, like you said, that travel usually messes with fighters and stuff. So just arrive at a decent time. Get enough rest. So you're acclimated to the time difference and everything. And just showcase, man, the world what you got. So I'm happy.
Right, so there's two things. Little Jacob said Hammer is going to be baby formula for Anderson.
Oh, yeah, I just see that. Yeah, that's dope.
And people are calling for Chef Boyardee to make a dish on this one, man. The people. They want a dish, G.
Help me. Hold on. My junior chef, Ned. Well, what you thinking about? What kind of meal you thinking about?
Hammerhead shark steaks filleted, yo.
What? Oh my god!
You know you can
eat. That's mad gourmet, son. You know what?
Mad gourmet, yo. We gonna eat good.
He's German. Hammerhead shark soup.
We can make it.
Oh, man, you different, man. We're going to figure that out. We're going to figure out what we're going to call it.
All right, Ned.
Hey, man, it's the heavyweight jump off, yo. You know? Christian Hammer been beaten by everybody. Like, who? All the big names in the heavyweight division. He just lost to Frank Sanchez before that. What's his name? Right here. Huey Fury. Prospect Tony Yoka, Luis Ortiz beat him. Alexander Povetkin, Tyson Fury. I don't know these guys. Yeah, but yeah, he's a groupie. So I expect Jared Big Baby to do what he got to do. Just get in there and get his licks in for us. And the gatekeepers. When the gatekeepers got to be, it shouldn't be hard to fight for him, but it's a step in the right direction. You know, I want to, you know, hopefully he gets bigger. This is going to lead to bigger and better opponents.
Hammerhead soup it is.
Yeah.
Yo, it's a great opportunity for Jared Big Baby Anderson. I mean, you saw him all last night on the ESPN card. He was interviewed. He was in the dressing room with Belanga speaking with him. There's a lot of excitement about him. You know, for me, I'm not going to get too hyped on him because I remember there was a lot of excitement about one Seth Mitchell. And Seth Mitchell was very promising, and he looked very, very good. But one man derailed Seth Mitchell's progress. And that man is not other than Conspiracy. And so the question is, will history repeat itself? And I don't know the answer to that. But I think it's great that Jared Big Baby Anderson gets the chance to fight on the undercard of such a colossal event. It sold over 90,000 according to what I've seen, and there's so many people excited about it. That would be a good step up. We'll see what happens. But I do think Jared Big Baby Anderson is on the rise, and we'll see. But I think it's great to put him on the undercard. You know, it would be nice for them to get my man Joe Joyce on that undercard too, if they can. But I don't know if it's important. Oh, trust me, we're about to get into that a little later. Yeah, so that's my take on that.
You said G's already dead from jumping out the window.
You see that hashtag? We go, yo. If Dillian White loses to Tyson Fury, this is the new hashtag. Mr. T, put it out there. Gina Jinx. That's the new hashtag.
What's that? Oh.
Gina Jinx. Hey.
Come on, son.
If Tyson Fury beats Dillian White, this is the new hashtag for
Gina Jinx.
Yo, listen. Just wait. And I seen that recent picture of Dillian. What did I say? Remember, I was like, Dillian's going to have a six-pack for this fight. And y'all laughed at me.
And G, but if Dillian wins, you're G the great, man.
Oh, yeah, it looks like a three pack.
It's just if Dillian wins, you're G the great.
Hey, you know who else had a six pack? Ooh. Deontay Wilder. Next topic.
Have faith, man. All right, hold on. All right. So, Cobbs versus the Rocha fight.
Oh man, this one. Hold on, man. Let me set this one up. I need a moment to set this one up. Stall me out, people. Stall me out. Stall me out for a second. Let me set this one up.
G definitely got some voodoo in his blood. Right. You know what I'm saying? Oh, crazy. Man, look at this. This is about to spread.
Yo, here's something y'all don't know though. G really tried to argue with us at the end of like our last show or something. He was like, yo, how was I really the jinx? Y'all bringing up stuff. Nah, let's talk about recent stuff. When I broke down G's recent history, even G had to sit there and be like, it's a new year, new jinx.
Yeah. The past is the past. Why are we even lingering on the past?
Nah, G, you know what it is, G.
New G,
you
new
know
year.
What it is, G.
You know what I'm saying? It's just
I'm gonna break down the recent history to G. I'm not even gonna go to Seth Mitchell, Bermain, Stavern. I'm not gonna go there. I'm gonna leave that alone. I'm gonna go to the recent history with G right now. All right, y'all ready? G picked Deontay Wilder to beat Tyson Fury. Fury beat Wilder. G picked Anthony Joshua to beat Andy Ruiz. Andy Ruiz beat Anthony Joshua for the rematch. G pick Andy Ruiz to beat Anthony Joshua. Then Anthony Joshua beats Andy Ruiz. G pick F.A. Ajapa to beat Frank Sanchez. And Frank Sanchez beat F.A. Ajapa. Okay. What was it? G picks Anthony Joshua to beat Alexander Usyk. Alexander Usyk beats Anthony Joshua. Do you see what I'm trying to tell you?
Hey, listen, even a clock is right twice in a day. You know what I'm saying? So a broken clock, so have faith. I'm telling you, for this one, Gillian is going to body bag Tyson Fury.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying, yo,
you're gonna get gassed.
He's gonna go for it. Get hurt. G Jakes Joshua, bro. That's what he did. And G knows he does it too. Because I'm gonna tell you, when AJ loses, you gotta see how Stretch reacts to it. You gotta see the way Ned reacts to it, and you gotta see G. G sits back like, yeah, I did it again.
Nah, that might be that
G still begin.
Yo, I'm telling you, man. Yo, these dudes acted like AJ actually died in the ring, like he got shot, murdered. You know what I'm saying? Like these dudes acting like they're going to a funeral. I was like, fam, it's not that serious, bro. Y'all be all right. Dudes is calling their families, making sure they okay in Nigeria. I'm like, yo, what the hell's going on here? You know what I'm saying? Like, Ned's depressed. Ned always talks trash. Ned got up and left.
You was hurt when Wilder lost, bro.
Yo, watch your mouth, man. I was
lost.
I was Gucci. Listen, no.
You was looking at your seat the first time.
On the first, I'm gonna keep it 100. The Wilder Fury 2, yo, that was bad, son. I was like, damn, like I ain't expect that to happen. The third one, I was like, well, it is what it is, man. You know when it happens, you're already used to it. You're like, yeah, it's whatever. You know what I'm saying? But the second one did hurt. But the way y'all reacted when AJ lost to Ruiz, I was like, y'all some grown-ass men crying. You know what I'm saying? I was like, ew. You know what I mean?
You don't act like you was hurt. I don't act like you was hurt when Ruiz lost in the rematch, man. You got the footage.
Yo, I want to hold away. I got to bring this up, though. This is how you know G be jinxing Wilder. I'm not even going to lie to you. Yo, G picked AJ to beat Andy Ruiz. That's my witness. Yo, Complex comes downstairs and Complex is like, oh, Ruiz is winning this. Ruiz is winning this. But you know it's coming from, like, he just don't want AJ to win, like, because he's a Wilder fan, right? So he just, oh, Ruiz is winning this. Easy. And G's like, nah, you know, Ruiz might get a little shine, but AJ's going to win. You know, but in the moment, your true colors show. So when AJ dropped Ruiz, they didn't really react to it or nothing. They were just sitting there. But when Ruiz dropped Joshua, they were like, yeah, 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 yeah. And then when Ruiz finally stopped Joshua, tell you, it's like these two got up and hugged each other and was like, yeah, oh, he's above Wilder, Wilder, Wilder. That's all you were hearing. Then they showed up for Boxing Bros. You know, they were floating. They weren't even walking.
All of that.
Yo. And then G goes, it's big boy season. The big boys.
Handcuff your ladies. Because we're coming. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck your ladies. It's big boy season.
Oh, man. Hold on. I'm gonna send you that picture. I remember I created it on y'all.
That's how I know G was jinxing them. Because if you would really pick someone, you wouldn't be that happy when they lost. Yo.
Now, I'm going to be 100. Man. I blame Complex. Wow, G. Came with that energy, bro. So I was like, you know what? I got to rep, man. I got to rep the set, man. You know what I mean? So I had to join in on the celebration, but I felt bad for AJ. I really did. You know what I'm saying?
Because you like AJ.
I do, man. I like, I like the fans for it, you know what I mean?
All right, people. So we got this one set up. Next topic we're going to discuss on Boxing Bros is Big Mouth Blair Cobbs gets stopped by Alexis Rocha. And we're going to show you actually the history behind, like, certain things. So, one, let's take a look at what – oh, actually, I got to set this up. Let's take a look at what Cobbs had to say just, like, about a week ago.
Where did that criticism come from? The fact that he's afraid. He's afraid. Yeah, he has all the love. He's afraid of Terrence Crawford. He's afraid of Terrence Crawford. What was Wade making that fight so long? He waited so long that he became devastated. If you don't do what's right, you will be cursed. And guess what happens? We don't see him fight for anything for a long time. One injury after the next. car injury, this injury, eye injury. He missed the fucking opportunity to beat fucking Manny Pacquiao. What now? He's a coward. And I don't respect cowards. I know he's a good fighter, but he's a coward. And he ruined boxing.
You say that he's gonna lose against Ugas. What is that that you see in him that looks like he's gonna drop the unification power of Ugas?
Because I can see it already in his eyes. You think I can't see it? You think I can't see what Alexis Rocha look like when I look up in his eyes? You think I don't know what's happening with Will Smith mentally, spiritually? It's all over his face. And when I look him in his eyes, I don't see a winner. I don't see a victorious winner in what he's going through. Everybody's going through struggles, trials, tribulations. I don't see.
What do you think about the mental health thing? Do you think that's
all right, so that's what he had to say about Errol Spence about a week ago. This is what happened last night when Blair, the Universe Energy Cobb, stepped in the ring with Alexis Rocha. All right, let's take a look. All right, as you can see, he's on the ropes getting ding dong. Man. No, so we're gonna let that rock again. Duff City. He need a right hook. Hold this, hold that. Where my peas, bro? That's what he beat him like. He beat him like you owed him some peas, bro. Alright. Is that another point? This dude look like a surfer trying to box, yo.
Yeah.
Man. He landed a one shot. He's feeling good. Well, anyways, I'm gonna stop sharing that, and I'm gonna show you what Errol Spence had to say after he was stopped. This is what Errol Spence had to say. And this is Errol Spence. I'm actually going to go back a little bit and see if I can find it, because Errol responded shortly after he said what he said. What he said, y'all listening to a 33-year-old prospect, media has to stop being so thirsty for content. Dude looks up to Ric Flair. So that's what he said. And then after the fight, this is what Errol Spence tweeted. He said, Rocha beating red ass off of 5 heartbeats. And then he wrote, put his ass in the dirt. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Conspiracy G, what's your reaction to the whole thing? My man, what he had to say about Spence getting body bagged, and then Spence reacted to it.
Yo, I always thought Cobb was slightly off, man. Like, he seemed a little crazy. So, I'm not even surprised this happened, man. But it is kind of unfortunate it happened the way that it did after he was talking so much trash about Spence. You know, this dude's home on, man.
Yo, I'm sorry. Sorry, G, I was trying to cut you off. Yo, you got to put up boxing, pound for pound Jack real quick. Yeah. Yo, I didn't even show that. I'm going to find that video, bro.
Nah, you showed it.
Nah, there's one where the angle's like right on it. You see the two.
Him like a Scooby snack.
You know? I'm sorry, G. That was go ahead.
And I said it while we was watching. I was like, yeah, this was attacking the ref. You know what I mean?
Man, I always say, man, I said this that before. Come humble or leave humble. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember when Ned was talking ultra spicy during the punch off. And I'm just like, yo, Ned, you know what? You got that. You know, even though it was a draw, I was just ashamed of my performance. I just stayed quiet. Nez talking, all this, inviting people, inviting his family. He got his mom on the live watching, talking smack. I was just like, you know what? It's cool blessings, Nez. And then what happened? When he had to perform, my man wet the bed. So it just...
Yo, hold on. Also, I gotta bring this up too. This could have been bad karma too, but right before AJ lost to Andy Ruiz, we had pizza. And G said to Ned politely, he said, "Can you pass me a pizza?" And Ned looked at him like with disdain. Ned looked G up and down like
in disgust.
He grabbed the pizza and I'm like, "Oh, word, he about to hand it to G." He goes and he eats it.
I remember he had his pinky up.
He eats the whole pizza and then he goes. And then G just looks at him and goes, "Blessings, man. Yep. Blessings."
AJ gets murdered. Then AJ gets murdered. Ned's stupid. Ned's like, Ned got up and was like, "I'm going on a diet." I was like, "Yeah, you go on that diet, son. You know what I mean? Burn off that pizza. You know what I mean?"
But go ahead, G.
I'm just saying, man, man, you a fighter or whatever. Focus on you. Focus on your career. You know what I mean? Karma gets everybody and at the most randomest moments. I know. I'm Captain Karma. I always get exposed. I get punished. It's crazy. You know, I done got injured several times in the gym because I was talking trash, ego lifting, doing all kind of dumb stuff. Man, at my age, I done learned now. It's like, hey, man, you know what? Think a little smarter. Be a little wiser. You know what I mean? It's cool to make jokes, but sometimes keep the jokes to yourself. And, you know, Cobbs, man, don't worry. You'll be all right, man. Don't let them tear you, man. I think, you know, they're going to give you another shot, man. You just got to bounce back. So you'll be all right. All you got to do is keep wearing them feathers. Keep doing that crazy antic stuff that you do. And, you know what I mean? You'll be back on, you know, you'll be back on one of the network shows. And I don't ever see you doing a pay-per-view show, but I can see you still on television, man. Just one loss, so you'll be all right.
Straightness said, went off my screen for a second. He said, "Ugas might look like Mr. Potato Head, but he's not playing like Toy Story. Upset."
Yo, where's that with that? Yo, I got to put that up.
There. It's strangingness. Yeah.
Yeah, I see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, Ugas ain't playing.
So somebody is sacrificing goats, but we're gonna leave that alone. Hey, salute to my man XXIV. TBE, what was your reaction to what you saw?
Man, that's just pure karma right there. Instant karma at that, man, where you just talking, you think you're bad, man. You got the cameras on you, you get use that 15 seconds. And then you ride in that little coattail and it blow up in your face after that. Like, I don't know, Cobb's sitting, I don't know where he at right now. He's sitting in bed with an ice pack on his face because them punches look like they hurt.
Yo, was that a picture of Tyson Fury? Hold up. I think when you just put up the last dude, I think his name was like Egg or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that is Tyson Fury, yeah.
Yo, that is hilarious. That's the heavyweight champion of the world. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, that's what you get, Blair. Yo, you talking all that mess, not focus on your boy, and you get that beat down. Yo, you get the sense, but you got the sense beat out you because you start hitting the ref after. So, hey, man, get well soon.
Yo, this is bad. This is real bad. This is credibility shot bad. You wanted me to believe that Errol Spence was afraid of Terrence Crawford. The same way you wanted me to believe that Alex Rocha was afraid of you. Why? You said the same look you see in Errol Spence's eyes is the same look you see in Alexis Rocha's eyes. So, using your logic, Rocha beat the dog mess out of you. Rocha beat you so bad, you thought the ref was your opponent. Rocha beat you so bad, you gave the ref a two-piece and you didn't even have enough power to move him back. So if the same look you see in Errol Spence's eyes is the same look you see in Rocha's eyes, then hell, that's a scary thing. That's a scary thing. Yo, my man, I get it. A lot of people are trying to get clout, and so they're punching up. But you got to understand, there's a different type of pressure that come with what these guys do. So, like, if you're a fighter and you actually fight, when you talk trash about another fighter, that's going to put the eyes on you, as Chris Colbert found out when he got beat, right? So it's one thing to talk trash about Errol Spence. It's one thing to talk trash about, say, Terrence Crawford. It's one thing to talk trash about Canelo and all these great fighters. But when you're a fighter, what that's going to do is it's going to put the eyes on you. And when the eyes are on you, everybody wants to see how good you are, since you're talking trash about a man who got two belts. People want to see how good you are, since you're talking trash. If you're Chris Colbert, people want to see how good you are, since you're talking trash about Shakur Stevenson, and you talking trash about, you know, Ryan Garcia, all these other guys. People going to want to see how good you are. And what people saw was you get the mess beat out of you. Listen, I'm going to tell you like this. He looked bad. Like, he looked like a surfer. He looked like someone who was on a surfboard. They needed to find a replacement for Rocha to cook up. And they said, hey, man, you have a box? Brought him in the ring. This dude celebrated landing a right hand after he was getting violated by this guy. And he's like, yeah. It was like, remind me of Russell Westbrook when he dunks and the Lakers still lose by 20. Like, my man, like, yo, in case you don't realize, this really isn't going your way. So I like to say this. It looked bad. Gee, you said his career isn't over, and you're right. Your career isn't over. You may be able to come back. You may be able to do some things. But I think you learned one valuable lesson. Don't throw rocks at – I mean, I'm not saying the throne, because I think Spence is the king. I still think 147 is still unsettled. We don't know who's the king at 147. But we know one thing's for sure. Blair isn't even in the equation. So, like, don't throw rocks at people who are up at the top. Worry about your business, because clearly you got a lot to learn.
All right, let's get to the next one. We got – okay, hold on. All right,
yo, Mad Dog 8 said, Cobb's real dad is Carrot Top, the comedian.
Oh, facts. Yeah. All right, so next up is Plant Declines Benavidez fight for September 2022.
Yo, my man was talking real greasy, though. He was like, his energy is off, and that's why he got in that car crash. That's why his Yo, my man was talking real greasy.
He's cursed.
Yo, I saw some people in the comment section. Sure, Dollar Bill had some things he had to do today. He said he might tap in with us if he gets the chance, but if not, He's gonna link up with us next time. But he is good, everyone. He is good.
Hold on. I don't know what's going on. I'm saying I don't have permission to share. This is weird.
How do you not have permission to
share? I don't know. I can't even share. Oh, man. Well, I'll just talk about it. So
yeah, you can just tell everyone.
Yeah, so I'm just going to read Benavidez's dad, Jose Benavidez Sr., and he actually made this post on Instagram. It says, Team Benavidez has reached out to Team Plant, and unfortunately, Caleb Plant has declined to fight David Benavidez September 2022. David is willing to make the best fights happen for the fans, but unfortunately, the fighters who the fans want to see do not want to fight Benavidez. We will continue to prepare hard for his upcoming fight May 21st, against David Lemieux, interim WBC world super middleweight title. Thanks to all fans for your support. And then if you actually see the image, it actually comes down and says declined, right? Then I'm going to read briefly an article from Boxing News 24, and it says that Caleb Plant declined David Benavidez's fight for September. Plant gave his reason for declining the fight by saying that Benavidez was trying to set up a fight with him despite him already scheduled to face former IBF 160-pound champion David Lemieux on May 21st. It's unclear why it bothered Plant that Benavidez would be looking to schedule a fight before his match against Lemieux, who's 43-4 with 36 KOs. After all, the 33-year-old Lemieux is viewed as an easy work for Benavidez. So, I guess now is what's our thoughts on Plant declining that fight against Benavidez?
I'll go first. I mean, I'm okay with it, although I would have liked to have seen the fight. The only reason why I'm okay with it is he's coming off his first loss. He just fought Canelo. And you typically want to fight someone and try to get, like, you know, that confidence back. And I think I saw that he's trying to fight Anthony Durrell. And I know that David Benavidez beat Anthony Durrell already. But remember, he's coming off of fighting Canelo. And he's coming off of fighting, you know, pretty much universally recognized the number one pound for pound guy. So I think, like, you know, for me, I'm okay with it. Now, I want to see him fight Benavidez at a certain point, but I also want to see Caleb Plant fight Benavidez when he feels like he's at his best. I don't want to see Caleb Plant fight Benavidez when he's questioning whether he's going to be the same guy. You know, for example, Errol Spence fought Danny Garcia immediately after the car accident, but I would have been okay with him taking, like, a tune-up just if he wanted to see, like, is my body right? Am I okay? So, I mean, and David Benavidez does have a fight coming up. I mean, I don't think that should play a role, but maybe Plant feels like Lemieux got a shot at upsetting him. And, you know, at the end of the day, for me, I'm okay with Plant not taking Benavidez, his first fight after losing his first fight as a professional, and as his first fight after fighting Canelo Alvarez. Had this been him coming off of two wins and they're both free, and I would feel differently about the situation. But at this point, I'm okay with it because of the reasons I just stated. So I'm going to throw it to you, TBE.
You know, when Ned does that face, that.
Nah, you already established you jealous of Ned's glasses, bro.
Facts. Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, I feel like I wouldn't I wanted to see this fight happen. I was kind of excited because I wanted to see, this is like the first time these guys in this division outside of Canelo, outside of fighting Canelo, fighting each other, or, like, you know, it's been years since when Canelo joined, these guys were fighting each other. Now it was something I wanted to see. But now that it's not happening, it's a little bummer. It's a little bummer because, you know, what's next? Like Lemieux? We already know what that is. So I'm not happy about the news. It's not good news for me. And come on, guys. I want to see David Benavidez fight some real competition. I want to see Plant bounce back from that loss with Canelo. And yeah.
All right, G, go ahead, G.
All right. So I'm really disappointed in Plant because I felt like that excuse was like BS, essentially. Because Benavidez is thinking, hey, I'm a get past Lemieux, and he's trying to set up two fights back-to-back. Canelo does it all the time, you know what I mean? And the other people don't go like, oh, you have a fight coming up, so I'm not going to sign on a dotted line. Like, that doesn't even make sense, you know what I mean? Like, and unless Plant is saying that Durrell, there's a strong chance that he might lose to Durrell, maybe that's why he doesn't want to take the fight. I can kind of see that, right? But he's putting it on Benavidez. Like, you already got a fight. You already, you know, preparing for a fight. Why are we trying to schedule a fight for September? I'm like, why not? You know what I mean? Like, get it while the iron's hot. You know what I mean? So, I don't know, man. It seems, because it's been, Benavidez has been trying to fight Plant for some years now. And Plant always has the runaround. I remember when Plant was saying, hey, you don't have a belt, it doesn't make sense to fight. Well, Plant, you don't have a belt now either. So what's stopping this fight from happening? So
I don't know, man. I'm not trying to say Plantin's a ducker, but it's getting close. You know what I mean? I don't really like calling fighters duckers, but, bruh, there has to be a reason, a logical explanation on why you don't want to take this fight. And both of y'all are PBC fighters, so this is easy to be made. This can happen right away. Like, so, I don't know, man. I'm really hoping Plant, maybe if Plant's saying, like, hey, I'm down to do this fight.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
And don't go and don't look it up. I just want it instantly, 5 seconds.
Right.
Name Benavidez's last opponent.
I forgot homeboy's name.
Thank you.
But hold on, but time out. You know what? It's not fair. You can't do that. And this is why. Because if the guy is actively trying to fight everyone and everyone's declining these fights, it's like, what can he do? Then he has to fight bums.
I'm not talking about everyone, though. I'm talking about my point is the guy he last fought, you forgot his name. And the guy who Caleb Plant last fought is the number one pound for pound guy taking body parts from all his opponents and gave Caleb Plant his first loss. And would probably, I would bet money, give Benavidez his first loss. So we're talking about different caliber of opponents. We're talking about the face of boxing and a guy you can't even remember. Plant just came off of fighting the face of boxing, but now we want him to jump in the ring with another dangerous guy.
Okay.
But Benavidez has never fought anyone as dangerous as Canelo. So if you were saying that Benavidez was coming off of fighting, say, a Demetrius Andrade, and he had a tough fight with Demetrius Andrade, and Caleb Plant just had a tough fight with Canelo, and then they were going to fight each other next, I'd be like, cool. But it just seems like a huge disadvantage to Caleb Plant coming off his first professional loss.
And I can give you that, but he should just say that. Yo, I just need to tune up some, or I just need more time. And everybody be like, all right, cool, that makes sense. You just lost to Canelo, and you know what I mean? That's Canelo's a tough opponent, right? Cool. But don't be like, your excuse is, why is he trying to set up a fight with me when he's already, you know, has a fight scheduled? Like, that doesn't even make sense. Canelo literally be scheduling, like, fights 3 at a time. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. It's like, it just seems so odd for Plant to say that. Like, bro, this is saying you need more time or, you know, like, I'm not interested in this fight. Just keep it 100. You know what I mean? Like, and it's, I'm being honest, I like Plant. I really do. You know what I mean? Like, I like him. I like Tennessee. But, bruh, this is bad, man. I'm just saying, these excuses are just horrible. So, but I hear what you're saying, and I could almost rock with that because I think the average person will understand, like, yeah, Canelo was a tough fight. But again, you're fighting Darrell next. Anthony Darrell, I think he's going to beat Darrell. Darrell's kind of past his prime. Who knows? If he loses to Darrell, then hey, you know what? Whatever, man. It was a good run for Caleb Plant. But I'm assuming he's going to beat, you know, Darrell. So then it's like, yo, why not have the Benavidez fight right after the Darrell fight? You know what I'm saying? And it's a good comparison. You know, like, both of y'all beat Darrell. And, you know, usually they do that cross-comparison stuff to promote the fight. And, you know, and I don't know, man. I just feel like Plant doesn't want to fight Benavidez. And it's just showing, man, because this, again, every time the fight is about to happen, he comes up with a new excuse. Now the new excuse is, yo, you already got a fight plan, so would you want Benavidez to cancel this fight? And then say, now, Plant, can you take this September date? I don't know, bro. So I hear what you're saying, but I'm really not impressed by Plant's decisions right now.
Well, I mean, I respect where you're coming from, but for me, if he wasn't coming off of a Canelo fight, it would be, my perspective would be different, but I'm gonna give him that pass for taking the challenge of Canelo, coming up short and possibly want to fight someone else. Now, if he beats Darrell and Benavidez gets past Lemieux, then I'll judge him based on who he chooses to fight next. But, but right now, I'm just going to, you know, say that for now. But I get where you're coming from. All right, so we can.
Yeah, well, my bad. I didn't even get to see these comments. But, yeah, it's whatever. All right, so.
If you want to respond to something, go ahead. I mean.
Nah, man, they write too much, man. It's cool. It's whatever. But, yeah, so next up is
Spence's legacy required him to be undisputed at 147. Yo, because for some reason I cannot share my screen. I put it in the
private. Oh, you put it in. Oh, all right. Let me check and see if I can pull that up.
Yeah, so it's a video on Twitter of
I got you, bruv.
I don't understand why I can't share. This is crazy.
You know why you can't share? Because they know you be chatting shit, G. That's why. Right, hold on. Let me share this real quick. All right, let me know if you can see it, because now I'm worried that I won't be able to share. All right. Ready? Mm-hmm. You see it?
Yeah, we can see it.
All right, I'm about to put it.
And Delahoya, Floyd, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, a lot of the greats, you know, won undisputed, especially in the, you know, Ford built era. So, you know, I don't think, you know, something that, you know, just that I need like that, but, you know, it's something that I definitely want, you know, why not? But, you know, if it can't happen, then, you know, it is what it is. And Delahoya, Floyd, you know, a lot of these guys.
All right. So if you couldn't really hear him, he said Floyd, Oscar De La Hoya, a lot of these guys weren't undisputed in their time in the four belt era. So, you know, it's not something I need, but it's something I want. Now, man, I guess you want to react to that, man.
Somebody said, gee, stop using public Wi-Fi. So, all right. And then, I seen the comments on Twitter saying, watch defend Spence on this. I will. However, I'm looking at it a little different. I think Spence's legacy does require him to have a fight with TC. It's just like how I look at it with AJ and Wilder. I feel like these fights have to happen. The world wants to see it. So I kind of feel like, you know, Spence, although... yeah, technically, both gentlemen may not need to fight one another. For the fans, you got to have that, you know, because that's always going to be in the back of everyone's mind. Could he have beat TC? Or if people talk about TC, could TC have beat Spence? So I don't really necessarily care about the undisputed thing, because he's right. There's several fighters that didn't obtain undisputed. They're still legends, right? But Spence has to face TC, just like Floyd had to face Pacquiao. So that's where I am going to come to Spence's defense. You know, it's not necessarily about undisputed, but necessarily about him fighting the best person in his current era.
All right. And salute to Rachel. That's right. They need to get me on top. I'm getting on there one of these seasons. Hopefully the next one. TBE.
Man, of course, I feel legacy. I feel undisputed would add so much to his legacy. And you work this hard in this division to acquire these belts, and you have this fight with Ugas. I know you fight a lot of the tough guys in this division as well. So fighting Crawford may not be it, but he still has so much in this sport right now. So we don't know what he has down the road that we can see, but this will be a good, like, this will be a bunch of brownie points for his legacy if he was to get undisputed at welterweight, if he was to fight TC, if he was to put his foot on this division and then go on and do even better things in boxing. So, you know, Ryan's not on the wall for him yet. He's only 32 years old. He got so much more to do in this sport.
I found it interesting. I find it interesting that people are tagging G and me, I guess. Spence said this recently, right? I'm not even going to say anything. I'll speak in a second. But I want to share a few things with my peoples, if that's all right. All right, so here we go. Let me do it like this. All right, am I sharing my screen?
Yes, sir.
All right. This is from March 20th. Not today, but March 20th, 2021. Take a look at the date. So a year ago today, This is what Terrence Crawford said.
There's only one fight. That's Terrence Crawford, but it doesn't look like he's headed in that direction, at least for his next fight. How are you feeling about the prospect of a unification fight with Errol Spence?
I'm not even worried about Errol Spence no more. I already told everybody that fight is history for me. You know, I'm not thinking or worried about Errol Spence anymore. You know, that fight is behind me.
Well, you're worried about Maurice Hooker right now. Good luck to your team tonight, Terrence.
So, a year ago today, Terrence Crawford says he's not worried about Errol Spence. And even after he won his fight, after this interview, he didn't call out Errol Spence. He called out Manny Pacquiao. So this was after he beat Sean Porter. Let's take a listen at what he had to say.
Three-time, you know, three-weight world champion, you know what I mean? Like, undisputed. And like I said before, man, I don't need Spence. You know, I've been the number one guy in the division since I came here. You know, three-time, you know, three-weight world champion, you know what I mean? Like, undisputed world champion. You know, coming in the welterweight division, my first fight, and win a title. Like, the things that I've been doing in my whole career is nothing compared to Spence. You know, not to take nothing away from him. You know, he's unified and whatnot. But like I said, you know, it is what it is.
All right. So, now I'm going to stop sharing my screen. Why is it when Errol Spence says basically the same exact thing you heard Terrence Crawford say before he did, you only jump on Spence? Is that not called bias? Is it not? Right? Terrence Crawford said the same exact thing a year to the day. He's not worried about Spence. Then after he beat Sean Porter, he said he doesn't need Spence. His career is already solidified. Spence says the same thing, and you jump on him. Yeah, you can say Spence has been ducking, but you don't have no proof that Spence has been ducking. You just like Crawford better. I got three videos that says otherwise. I got actual facts that says otherwise. Errol Spence contacted TC himself, and TC acknowledges that he was offered 40%. And he said, I'm not taking 40%. If anyone's going to get 40%, everyone's going to get 60%, it's going to be me. Exactly. One foot out the door. He wants to be the A side. Spence made him an offer. All y'all saying Spence is ducking, but who's the one right now who has no deal? Who's the one who's been a free agent? Who's the one who's been a free agent for this long and has no deal? Bob Arum. Bob Arum was Terrence Crawford's manager. What did Bob Arum tell you? He said the fight never happened because Terrence Crawford wanted too much money. Terrence Crawford's no longer on Top Rank. What does all the other promotional companies tell you? Even Eddie Hearn, someone who was interested in TC, said, I'm not signing TC because he doesn't have sensible numbers. So remember, you have Bob Arum saying the fight didn't happen because TC wants too much money, right? Go back to this guy. How long have you been watching Boxing Bros, bro, to say I'm a Spence fan? Go watch what I say about Spence. I hold Spence just as equally as accountable as I'm holding TC right now. But what I'm saying is, no, don't say media offers ain't nothing. Go back to this guy. It wasn't a media offer, I am Dave. It was Terrence Crawford telling people what Spence had offered him. You see the difference? If I have a meeting, me and G, and I offer G 40%, and G says F you to me in a meeting, that's cool. But then G does an interview with someone else, and then G says the fight's never going to happen because they're talking this 40% mess. That's his exact quote. That's why it's frustrating having a conversation with you. That's called an admission. When we're speaking about something and someone admits that they did something against their own interest, they admit it. It's an admission. It's even admissible in court. So I would be able to use that in court, that admission in court against Terrence Crawford. If Terrence Crawford goes on the stand and says that Bob Arum never tried to get me to fight, I can play the video of him saying the fight's never going to happen because their team offered me 40%. Look, whatever you say, you have no evidence. All my evidence is on this. You can look it up. I'm not making it up. I have 3 videos of me breaking down this situation. And all the facts are there. Again, so when someone says they offered me 40%, what is that? He clearly admitted that his team was offered 40% and he rejected it. Bob Arum admitted the reason why the Spence fight never happened was TC wanted too much money. Remember, at the end of the Pacquiao fight, another fact, Bob Arum called out Errol Spence and TC called out Manny Pacquiao. What's that? What's the I am Dave? Let me see what he said. When Spence and Bud came face to face. See, that's y'all the ones who are dealing with the media, right? You look at what you just said. You can't negotiate through the media, right? That's what they just said, right, G? That's what they just said, right, Ned? But the first thing you go to is a media incident where TC ran up on Errol Spence and said, I want to fight you. And ignore TC admitting that Errol Spence's team actually tried to make a deal with him, but he thought it was too low. You ignore Bob Arum admitting that the reason why Terrence Crawford never fought Errol Spence was because Terrence Crawford wanted too much money. You ignore Eddie Hearn admitting the reason why he won't sign TC is because he's not sensible and he wants too much money. You ignore all that and rely on one video from 5 years ago where TC ran up on Errol Spence and Spence didn't even deny the fight. Spence said, why wouldn't I beat Sean Porter first? Check. Why wouldn't I beat Danny Garcia first? Check. And then fight you next. Never said he wouldn't fight him. That's the problem with fanboys. Yo, I actually understand logic. I actually understand business. So I get it. You're relying on media talking about I'm relying on media. No, I'm relying on actual evidence that would be admissible in court. What? All I know is Spence is collecting belts. All I know is Spence is unified. All I know is this, right? Let's talk about another fact. After Terrence Crawford called out Manny Pacquiao and said that's the fight he wanted, Errol Spence was the one who Manny Pacquiao chose to fight over him because he wanted too much money to fight Manny Pacquiao too. How many times must this guy overestimate his value and people choose other options before it's him? Why is it everybody else and not him? Maybe. But guess what? Fights aren't won in the comment section or in the chat section. We don't know. I would love to see it. I'm gonna get to this and then I'm done with it. They both need to fight each other. Spence is saying he don't need Crawford. Crawford saying he don't need Spence. They're both saying the same exact thing, except you all make it seem like one person's ducking when he says the same thing that the other person said basically a year ago to the day. One guy has fought the better opposition at 147 and the other guy hasn't. One guy could have signed with PBC a long time ago, chose to re-sign with Top Rank. Now he wants to sue Top Rank. Damn, it seems like the whole game got it out for this brother, huh? Everyone's ducking him. Except Bob Arum paid him the most guaranteed money out of any of the fighters in 147. So, I mean, come on now. I'm sick of hearing it. Yo, at the end of the day, all I'm saying is this. At the end of the day, all I'm saying is this. They need to fight each other. I'm not letting neither one of them get a pass. Errol Spence, you're not the king of 147. The king of 147 is the undisputed champion, and there's still a dispute because there's going to be a whole group of people who think it's TC. And Terrence Crawford, you're not the king of 147 because you got one belt. There's people out there with multiple belts. And there's always going to be a dispute because there's still going to be people who think Errol Spence is the best. There is a problem that we're not getting this fight. But based on all the evidence presented before me and me using intellect, logic, and not riding a fighter, I believe it's because TC is overpricing himself. He's overvaluing himself. I believe it's because he needs to be more reasonable with his asking price. That's why I believe he's not getting a fight. I don't believe Spence is running. I don't believe it. I don't believe Spence is afraid. I don't believe PBC is afraid of making money. I believe they're afraid of losing money. I don't believe that Bob Arum isn't interested in having TC because they're afraid of making money. I think they let TC go because they were done losing money. I don't think TC is still a free agent to this day because people think he can't fight and he's not a good fighter. I think he's still a free agent to this day because people are not going to lose money because he has his head in the clouds thinking he's worth something that he's not. That's my take on it. So we can move on to the other one.
All right. So this is actually our last topic is the Malik Scott versus
Sergey
fight. You know what I mean? So, yo, Kate, I put the link in the chat. It's just a 1 minute. You know, like summation of the fight. You know what I mean?
Okay, word. All right, let me pull this up. Yo, bro, this isn't what the topic was supposed to be. You know what the topic was supposed to be. Don't worry about that. We're going to show this, though, right now, anyway. All right, hold on. All right, here we go. Let's get it. Малик Скотт.
Железобетонные нервы Сергея Харитонова. Да вот передняя рука Малика Скотта. Мы с Николаем Валуевым по ходу много раз отмечали, что он не работает. Да, вот этот нокдаун. Ну, сейчас мы видели и слышали комментарии Сергея Харитонова.
You see that high IQ, though. That was a nice little setup. Так не попадали.
Наверное, да. Ну, ему, в конце концов, все яснее и виднее.
Oh, he dropped Malik.
Ah, that little fugazi, bro.
Bro. Malik took another dunk.
Oh, no,
that looked like it landed more than Wilder's right hand did.
Hold on, I gotta see that again.
Man, we ain't playing that again, man. Man, I'm done with this, man. All right. You just saw Malik Scott do his thing in the ring. So, Ned the TBE, what was your reaction? I'm requesting, G, please, while Ned's going, can you please change the title for this video to Malik Scott versus Chris Lovejoy on pay-per-view? Because that's the fight that the people want to see. But in the meantime, Ned the TBE, what was your reaction to what you saw?
All right, man, I did not know this fight happened till like Saturday morning, and this is how I found out this fight happened. I always like to check in on Deontay Wilder, make sure he's all right, or if there's any, he breaks any his silence. And I saw he posted, congrats, Malik, on your win. And then I went to go look for the fight. I found the fight, sent the fellas the link. But the fight was too boring for me to watch. I didn't even get to the exciting part where they was knocking each other down and things of that nature. I just heard he got knocked down and I was watching to find it. And I was going to watch it back later, but at the time, not seeing all of this, these boys need to quit it, yo. Malik, you're not in fighting shape, man. You are not in fighting shape. And Sergey, yo, come on, man. I don't know, brother. I don't know what you do. I haven't seen you in the octagon, and this wasn't it, yo. Y'all just look sloppy. And it was just disgusting. It was just a blubber fest. And I don't know. I used to like to see heavyweights get in there and try to knock each other out or just throw punches at each other. But this was just this wasn't it. This was just so unorganized. And it's disgusting.
I hate conspiracy.
Man, listen, man. That was That was a real poor performance from Malik Scott. But, you know, it doesn't count, you know, because it was like, what, six rounds? So that means it wasn't an official fight. So it's whatever. I think he just went over there to Russia for the payday. I think it was Russia, correct? I mean, like, he went overseas. Oh, I know he went overseas to get a bag. So I can't hate the man for that. But, you know, low-key, this is where I'm kind of hurt. I'm like, man, boxers have been punishing MMA fighters for the longest. I think Malik Scott might be the first boxer to lose to an MMA fighter in the ring. And that's what's disappointing. You know what I mean? So Malik, man, it's cool, man. But I don't know. Maybe your days as a fighter is over. Maybe it's just time now to just focus on being a trainer. You know, but I don't know, man. That was bad. He looks out of shape. He looked like a shadow of himself, you know? So, bro, it's just, I don't know, man. It's time to hang it up, bro. Just hang it up, man. Find Wilder and get Wilder back in the ring and motivate Wilder to take AJ's head off clean, guillotine style. I'm done.
I completely disagree with G, but where's the surprise in that? G don't know what he was talking about. Did you see the boxing IQ that was on display there? He touched him up top with the left hook, then ripped one to the body, dropped him on the floor. It was a beautiful thing. What are you talking about, G? It was just pure excellence from Malik Scott. He was slightly out of shape, just a tad bit out of shape, and that's why he got dropped later on.
You know that's what? That's why he got dropped. It was Cesar Chavez Jr. You're right. My bad. My apologies, Malik. You second.
Mm-hmm. Listen, he was slightly out of shape, like I said, but he can get back in shape. He showed beautiful ring generalship, high boxing IQ. He showed the punch placement with that body shot. I think it's only right that we see him again. And in fact, I think the fight that the world's been missing is Malik Scott versus the GOAT, Chris Lovejoy, live on pay-per-view. And I think that's the fight that needs to be made. I'm just saying, I think there's a lot of people who feeling it. A lot of people who feel me. A lot of people who will cut. Oh, TBE, get in there.
They don't even need pay-per-view, yo. I think they can set this up on OnlyFans, for real.
Pause. Yo, this guy's
it. They can set it up on OnlyFans, man. Like,
you know why they're going to set the fight up on OnlyFans, G? Because it's getting the people excited. That's why, G. You know what I'm saying?
Please, man. That fight, man, that might be on PBS. You know what I'm saying? PBS. That should be free. That fight should be
free. That fight's too good to be free, G. I'm telling you. Listen.
I want to see that. You know what I mean?
Listen, I think that we need to set up Lovejoy versus Malik Scott because we got the king versus the GOAT. Now, that's going to be a dope fight, G.
My money on Scott, bro.
G, you going to pick Scott? Hell no, he ain't beating the GOAT, man. whatever. All right, yo. Who y'all got? Who y'all got? Malik Scott or Chris Lovejoy? Let me know. In the comment section, but yeah, that would be the fight I want to see with Malik
S. You know what I'm saying? Not PBC, PBS.
Oh, you mean hell. TBS? It'll at least be on TBS.
Be on PBS.
You see, that's a $90 fight right there, bro.
$90 fight. Shoot, they're gonna have a Cookie Monster on a opening. The opening fight will be Cookie Monster versus Elmo or something. That's where you need to be at.
You know, Elmo's one real arrogant dude. You ever notice how Elmo always say Elmo at third person everything?
Hey,
Elmo,
you know what I mean? That's how you do it. You know?
Elmo arrogant.
Yo, he was like Elmo's alphabet. He was out with like a group of kids. Let's sing Elmo's alphabet. Then he was like, oh, why do you think it's Elmo's alphabet? He was like, because elemental P.
he had his own apartment called the Elmos, bro, man. He was crazy.
I'll tell you, Elmo one cocky dude, man.
Oh, tripping.
Oh, man, we got a lot of love.
Oh, you see what it is, the GOAT, baby.
Yo, Rachel, man, we were like this today, and you just messed it all up. You know
she said,
man?
Hey, she can't keep going with the jinx.
Yo, your man probably going to throw in the towel for
Lucky got slightly better cardio.
Why don't we end up throwing the towel in for that, man?
Yo, Malik's an embarrassment to the U.S. He went to the applause, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, you got a bag, bro. You got my man Malik. He ain't tripping. Malik ain't do no trading, dog. He just went.
Yo, y'all are crazy, man.
That's our last segment.
That was our last segment, man.
All right, man. Well, I gotta run. So,
yeah.
I'm just gonna say thank you. Thank you for rocking with us. Everybody, I can say peace out to the people. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, man. It's all love, man. Thank y'all and thank y'all for the positive vibes to my son Ned, because his woman left him and got engaged with another man. You know what I mean? But he'll be all right. We're gonna get Ned right. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's more buses out here that he can hop on. So I appreciate all of y'all for the positivity, the positive vibes from my man TBE.
Yo, TBE Nation, find me another boxing queen, yo.
I am from my brother Trill Dollar Bill. Salute, and we'll see y'all next week.
It's the Boxing Bros.